here at the Cattle Industry Annual Convention and Trade Show. We're continuing our coverage, and right now we had an opportunity right after the Cattle Facts Annual Outlook Seminar to visit along with Bob Bergdorfer from Reuters. We had the opportunity to visit with top hired hand for Cattle Facts, Randy Block. Bob asks a couple of questions, and then we follow up with some additional questions as well as we talk about feedlots, their viability, as well as cool and other export prospects here for 2009.
All right, we talked about the profitability in the feedlots, or the loss in the feedlots, probably the worst ever. I noticed on your slide to show things will get better and later in 2009. Give me kind of an overview of the dynamic. What's going on now, and how it's going to affect one, as you mentioned, capacity, and how's that going to affect just feeders in general, and then later on in the year, how good is it going to get?
Well, I think as we look out here today, obviously with 800,000 fewer cattle on feed today, we've got quite a few empty spots in feed yards today, and with the equity drain that we've experienced, we're not going to fill or utilize all that capacity as we move through the year. There's feeder cattle outside of these feedlots. We still have 400,000 cattle outside of feedlots more than a year ago, and as we move on into the spring, I think we'll see those cattle move in a very normal fashion, and particularly in the March through June time period.
So it'll fill some of that capacity?
That's right. We'll start to utilize more of that capacity at that time.
Again, you mentioned the supply is bullish, but then, of course, the demand has been the bearish part of it. Address that a little bit. I know there's been, all of us talked about the global economic meltdown, both here around the world. Any foresight there?
Well, the demand piece of the equation is the toughest part. We look at it from a standpoint of where we've been here over the last 12 months, then look at it on a monthly and quarterly basis. And if demand is stabilized, and we believe that we're starting to see some indications with a little bit of rejuvenation in some of these export markets, obviously we're testing it with some of the largest slaughter levels that we've had in the last few months right now, and we believe we're going to be able to clear that at prices in here very close to where we are. So we're not really negative demand from where we are now. We think the market has priced and anticipated most of that in.
Okay. One other question, then I'll turn it over to you. The feedlots, everybody tells me that we're going to see some of them go out of business. You hinted at that up here. What's your thinking on that, just because of the losses that we're seeing now?
Well, the loss in equity, just can't continue. We're seeing some capacity idled today, have here over the last few months. I would guess by the time we get through the first half of the year, we'll see some capacity that is either sold or shut down. So that's coming. You can't be in a situation where you've got 20 or 25% excess feeding capacity with the losses we've gone through and not see some of that capacity shut down.
So that was the estimate, 20 to 25% excess right now?
I would say we're right at 20% overbuilt.
And we'll see some, not all of that, but some of that will be fine.
Randy, you hit a couple of things on the export scene. On cool, you called it short-sighted, and a lot of fears, it seems like, that you all were expressing about how this could play out with Canada and Mexico.
Well, our concern is we need access to global markets. We all learned how difficult it is in late 2003 and 2004 when we lost access to most of our global markets. It took about $175 a head off our markets. So trade disruptions can have a tremendous impact on us. Having access to Canada and Mexico is critical for our industry. And can trade disputes or trade barriers, those kind of things are not healthy for us long term. So that's something I think as we look down the road, hopefully we can all get on the same page, not only with those markets, but as we look at expansion into some of the other markets that we really don't have access to today, with China and further expansion into the Japanese markets. Those are opportunities for us. And they're very, very important for our industry long term.
You
You mentioned Japan. Seems like a lot of emphasis in this presentation about the fact that if we could just get to 30 months.
Well, it's such a big deal. You know, Japan was our biggest market prior to our first case of BSE, and we just haven't been able to hit full stride over there. That'd be a big opportunity for U.S. beef producers to ship 30-month product and down into those markets.
What's your message right now to cow-calf operators?
Well, I think as you look at it, obviously things are difficult right now. Margins have been squeezed. Most of the profitability is gone at the cow-calf side. But we've all saved a little money for the rainy day, so to speak. The cow-calf producers had a pretty good run here through most of the last decade. I think we're in the toughest part of it here over the next 12 to 18 months for cow-calf producers. And we're going to see prices come back very well from 2010 to 2013-14. I think cow-calf producers will have a very good run in profitability again.
You indicated that supply is very bullish potentially.
Oh, the supply side, you just can't continue to liquidate the cow herd the way we are and not see a very, very positive outcome from a price standpoint. Demand will stabilize not only domestically but globally at some point. So there is tremendous opportunities for us.
Thanks, sir.
One medical question regarding cool. You made hints that we cannot damage our markets like Canada or Mexico. Has there been repercussions from those two in relation to cool, visible ones?
Well, I think obviously the Canadians have the WTO suit right now. The Mexicans are tagged on to that. We saw some of the plant delistings in December that can be disruptive, and anything that disrupts business. Markets don't like uncertainty, and I think we all need to understand that they don't like uncertainty. And so why they have not been significant up till now, we just would like them to not escalate.
Randy Block, top hired ham for Cattle Facts here at this Cattle Industry Convention in Phoenix. I'm Ron Hayes.